Hi, I'm Mary Jean Banta with the College Readiness and Talent Development team at the Georgia Department of Education for our first Gifted Education podcast with some gifted tips. Today, we're delighted to have with us our first guest, Rebecca Blanton, who is the School Climate Transformation Grant Manager here at the DOE. Welcome, Rebecca.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're very excited, and we're going to get started with our questions. As you know, the Georgia Department of Education is focusing on the whole child. It is imperative that we work to meet the needs of our students. With that as our reference point, what kind of needs do students have in today's schools?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Teachers, classroom teachers, are reporting that more students are stressed and they are lacking self-regulation skills, and a lot of them also are lacking social skills. And if you look then at the Georgia Health Survey, that gives us insight into what students are thinking and feeling. In the Georgia Health Survey reported from the 2018-19 school year, 45% of the students reported being sad or withdrawn during the past 30 days. That amounts to over 300,000 students who are reporting that they are sad. And another 32% said that they felt suddenly overwhelmed with fear for no reason, and that's over 200,000 students in Georgia. And then 13% of our students experienced severely out of control behavior that they might hurt themselves or other people, and that's over 86,000 students. And then the most of sad part of the data is 6% of the students have attempted suicide in the past 12 months, and that is over 37,000 students who attempted suicide in 1 year. So students are more stressed than before. The suicide rates in Georgia and really across the nation are climbing. And what is also sad is that many younger students are dying by suicide, students as young as 9 years of age. So our students are stressed and needing some support.
Now, how does this information that you just gave us, how does this apply to our gifted and high ability learners?
Well, research is clear that up to a quarter of all gifted students have low social intelligence, which interferes with them developing gratifying social interactions and may lead to depression, anxiety, phobias, and interpersonal problems. And the gifted students are part of the student health survey, so their responses are recorded. Although we do not identify students, we know that the gifted students also took the student health survey, and it is anonymous. And so when we think about gifted students, we think about them as having more protective factors. And protective factors are things like doing well in school, good problem-solving skills, and strong academic performance. But the risk factors that we know for them include stress to perform, stress to achieve, internalizing feelings, and then, of course, the low social intelligence that is reported in the research.
So all of that's very important for us to consider because we're really concerned about the well-being of our gifted students. Let's take it another step. How does a student's well-being impact his or her achievement?
The research, again, is clear that students with untreated anxiety, depression, or living in trauma do not do well academically. And a survey of school counselors in 2018 indicated that the top reasons students were being referred to them were for suicidal ideation, self-harm, and the second most common referral was for depression or anxiety. So we know that there are students who need some support in our schools, including the gifted students as well as other students.
Now, how do these concerns impact their daily lives?
What we know from some work that we did with Project Aware, which was a grant, a 5-year grant, that focused on student well-being and school-based mental health is when we started doing universal screening, we discovered that there's a significant number of internalizing students who no one knows in the schoolhouse that they are suffering. But what we learned when we were diving into that data is that there were people in the schoolhouse who knew the internalizing students. These are students who were visiting the nurse's office frequently and the school counselor's office. So when students have untreated concerns, they are out of class because they're visiting the nurse more frequently, they are going to see the school counselor more frequently. And so the interesting thing is that we predict that high-achieving students want to do their own problem-solving, so we think that probably a larger percentage of them are the internalizing students.
It's a good point for all of us to remember. Is there one concern or issue that seems to be more critical than others?
Well, for many years, educators believed that their top job was to provide academic content, and of course it still is. But what all teachers, whether you're teaching science, math, whatever your content area it is, it's everyone's job at this point, really, to address the well-being of students. And it's very clear, the data supports it, that if students are depressed, anxious, or living with trauma, it impacts their academic achievement. So we know that it's everyone's job now. It's not only educators, it's parents, it's community members. Everyone should have a vested interest in the well-being of students.
And that's so important for all groups of students. And today we're talking so much about the gifted and high ability learners, but we sometimes think that they can get it on their own, and that's not true. They need to have that support.
They do, because again, the research is clear that many of them have low social intelligence, and they need help with the social skills.
Exactly. So what can individual districts and schools do to support their students?
Well, actually, there's lots they can do, and one thing that I think all districts would be wise to do would be to become familiar with the student health survey results for their district, and for principals to become very familiar with the results of their individual schools, because students are reporting on protective factors on the survey, and they're also reporting on how their well-being is on the survey. So I think that if those results were looked at, that it would help districts plan and individual schools plan for what their students need. A lot of people believe that students do not take the health survey seriously and discount the data from the student health survey, but it has internal controls designed into the survey, and each year between 200,000 and 300,000 surveys are omitted from the results because they are students who are not taking it seriously. But we all know that if students are feeling in a safe place in the school and feeling connected to adults, that improves the school climate. And students learn better when there's a positive climate. So we want students to feel connected to the school and to feel they have an adult or maybe more than one in the school that they relate well to.
And that's a wonderful thing that we need to do, is a deep dive into the school health climate.
One more thing that I really feel would be great for schools to do and districts is to be deliberate about teaching pro-social behavior, coping strategies, teaching emotional regulation, and problem-solving skills. Many districts in Georgia have already implemented social-emotional learning programs in the schools, and so that is a really positive step in the right direction. And several districts have started universal screening. We have always done screening for hearing and vision and academics, and many of them have now added behavior screening as well. And so once we know how to deal with students who have these deficits and teach them the skills that they need, it won't only improve their performance at school, but it will impact our workforce as they leave school. They will know how to work in a group when they go on to jobs. And so there are many things that districts can do to facilitate that.
That goes back with our Educating Georgia's Future. We're trying to get them ready for college and career. Another thing that goes back to one of the old gifted goals that we had was for a student to learn about the uniqueness of self.
Mm-hmm.
So the awareness there. So that goes hand in hand with that.
It absolutely does.
So if we take all of this and all these many things that the schools and districts can do, what is it that the Georgia Department of Education is doing to support these concerns?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, Mary Jean. When ESSA was revised, it allowed federal title funds to be spent on mental health and on positive behavior interventions and supports, or PBIS. Schools that are implementing PBIS are part of the solution in addressing student wellness. Tier 2 of the PBIS framework includes practices and systems that support students needing social skills groups and self-management. And of course, our Tier 3 in PBIS provides more individual services to students. And math standards are being looked at. All academic areas should infuse some of the student well-being into their content areas, and that's being done now. But in addition to that, the DOE is collaborating with the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities and will provide sources of strength training to 60 high schools in Georgia. And sources of strength is an upstream prevention for suicide. But in addition to suicide prevention, it teaches students life skills, problem solving, that teaches them where their strengths are so that they know how to weather the storms or the bumps in the road that they may go through in high school as well as for the rest of their life. So the DOE has really been proactive and is doing a lot in this area. But beyond the DOE's reach, you know, teacher preparation programs might want to consider addressing student well-being in their core classes, because we've got to have beginning teachers that know this information so that they are equipped to teach the students in front of them and that they won't leave the profession.
That's wonderful news to have. It's like no man is an island. We all work together with this. It takes a village to raise a child, and takes a village to have the child have the best well-being that he can have or she can have. So we appreciate all of this knowledge that you have given us and information. And thank you for the work that you do here at the Department of Education to better the situations for our students in Georgia.
Well, one more comment, Mary Jean, I have is a very wise man once said, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. And it was Aristotle who said that. So we are now approaching the whole child, and it's a wonderful thing for the students in Georgia.
And that's a wonderful, super way to end with Aristotle and the whole child. And in particular, we're talking about the whole gifted and high ability learner. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.